Jim, when we talk about the housing crisis, tell us a bit about that. How much of a crisis or shortage of housing are we actually in this nation?
We are in a severe housing crisis. Depending on who you ask, we are short between 4 and 7 million units of housing, apartments, homes, et cetera, nationwide. We should be building 1 to 2 million units a year, and we're building far less than that. And as a result, the supply is not meeting up with demand, and more and more people have to pay a larger and larger percentage of their income from housing. It used to be that rule of thumb was you spent around 30% of your income on housing, whether that be for rentals or for mortgages and taxes and that kind of thing. But today, more and more people are spending over half of their income on housing, which leaves very little money left for transportation, for medical care, for food, and all the other necessities of life. As a result, we have people that simply cannot find a place to live. People with good jobs, people with marginal jobs. They're both in the same situation, an inability to find a reasonable place to live.
Why is that? Because normally in a free market economy, which we at least nominally still have, if there is a demand, the private sector and the profit motive will rush in to fill that demand. So why has that not occurred?
I can assure you there are many, many people that would love to develop their land for more housing. But in many parts of the country, it's become virtually impossible to do that. In fact, it's illegal in many parts of the country to build the kind of starter homes that people would like to live in. Why? We have zoning. We have environmental regulations. We have all kinds of building restrictions. And every time, even if you go through the permit process and get all the permits, people will come out of the woodwork and they'll complain, say, look, we think housing is a great idea, but not in my backyard. Do it somewhere else, completely away from here. And as a result, there are fewer and fewer places where people can build homes. As a result, we have the shortage, and it's becoming more and more unaffordable. And indeed, some of that unaffordability is spilling out onto our streets, where you see people living in their cars, tents, and other very crude accommodations.
This has, of course, become an issue in the presidential campaign, and Kamala Harris, the Democratic nominee for president, has proposed here, Jim, a $25,000, I guess, giveaway to potential home buyers to allow them to get into the housing market. That could have unintended consequences. What do you make of that proposal?
The proposal's not going to work except to increase the cost of housing nationwide. When you put this kind of money into a sector of the economy without creating additional supply, what you are going to do is basically shovel money into the sector of the economy, the housing sector. Costs will rise because people will see that $25,000, or Gavin Newsom, governor of California, is proposing $150,000. Either way, you're going to have more money going into the market. It's going to cause prices to rise because it's not going to do anything to increase supply.
Not to mention, where would that money even come from to pay for the program?
Of course, taxpayers have to pay for it. People already with homes and people struggling to afford the homes they already have are going to have to pay into this first-time home buyer, may I dare call it a slush fund. It simply isn't going to work. You look at the analogy of higher education. What happened when the government started to shovel all kinds of money into higher education? The prices rose and rose and rose, and now we're all paying the cost of that.
The government has in the past here, Jim, attempted to inject itself into the private housing market. A lot of cities have toyed with and or implemented rent controls. How has that impacted the housing market? Has it really created a situation where it's made the problem worse rather than better?
As my book, Nowhere to Live, points out, everywhere that rent control has been tried, it makes things worse. There is a famous economist named Assar Lindbeck who wrote about 30 years ago, the best way to destroy a city other than bombing in a war is through rent control. And the reason why is because when you have rent control, it creates a terrible disincentive for anybody to create new housing supply, to build new apartments, to build new rental homes. When you have this disincentive caused by rent control, people simply don't want to build. I'll give you an example. St. Paul, Minnesota, recently, a few years ago, passed a rent control ordinance limiting rent increases to 3% a year, regardless of inflation. There were projects that were being built, chips and bricks were coming out of the ground. When rent control was passed, the workers were called off, the equipment was called off, and the project basically stopped dead. Because owners, when they realize they cannot get a fair return on their investment, are not going to invest. They're going to put their money somewhere else. We want people to put their money into housing. Creating rent control causes a terrible disincentive to do that.
Is there then any appropriate role for government in solving the housing crisis?
I think the government should get out of the way. The government should reform zoning and have less zoning rather than more to allow people to build homes where people want to live. It used to be, in the old days, if you had a piece of property, you could do with it pretty much what you wanted. You could farm it, you could cut trees on it, or you could build homes on it so long as you weren't going to create any kind of nuisance to your neighbors. Now you can't do that. If you want to build homes, you have to go through layer after layer after layer of permitting at every stage, at every layer. People can come in and argue that you shouldn't be able to build homes. They could sue you. I have cases in my book, Nowhere to Live, where people have been trying to build subdivisions for over 20 years, and they get sued one time after another after another. One suit gets settled, taken care of, and somebody else will come in behind and bring another lawsuit. This has got to stop if we're going to solve our housing crisis.
What impact has the run-up over the last 4 years in interest rates and mortgage rates in particular had on the housing market? And do you see the fact that we have apparently a number of interest rate cuts about to occur having an impact as well?
The interest rates only make a bad situation worse. And so if there are cuts, it'll make a bad situation slightly less worse, but it isn't going to solve the problem. The problem is lack of supply. We need more homes. I mean, it's economics 101. If you have a shortage of something, prices are going to rise, and only the people that have the money can afford it. If you have enough supply, prices will moderate. Prices may come down, but at least they won't come up further than they are. So government should get out of the way. Government should make it more difficult for people to sue in the courts time after time after time again. Government should free up land that is now off limits to housing because it is endangered species habitat, wetland habitat, open space, viewshed corridors. All these kind of things that take huge amounts of land off limits for building should be removed. So my bottom line is government should get out of the way.
We have been talking with Jim Burling, who is Vice President of Legal Affairs at the Pacific Legal Foundation, also author of the book Nowhere to Live, The Hidden Story of America's Housing Crisis. Jim, give us a little bit of information on the Pacific Legal Foundation, a website, and also where can folks find your book?
The Pacific Legal Foundation has been in existence for over 50 years. It litigates on behalf of property owners defending their property rights. And you can find more about Pacific Legal Foundation at pacificlegal.org. We are a nonprofit. We do not charge for our legal services. And we've had some success. We have won 18 of our last 20 cases representing clients at the United States Supreme Court. And you can read about that, some of our cases, in my book, which you can find at Amazon. It's Nowhere to Live, The Hidden Story of America's Housing Crisis. And it's available wherever books are sold. Get it at Amazon, and it can be delivered to your door in a day or so.
Jim Burling of the Pacific Legal Foundation. Jim, thank you for taking time to be with us.
It's been my pleasure.